I was reading this week a lot of stories to do with forgiveness, because there's a lot in the air with Yom Kippur coming up on Tuesday. And I came across this one story by a Unitarian Universalist named Danny Gibbons. And Danny was talking about a time in his life when he realized he was going to have to forgive his father to begin the process of moving forward. When they were growing up, when Danny was little, his father was almost never present. And when he wasn't really present. He would tune out, act like Danny was only an annoyance, and this really didn't go away even as Danny got into adulthood. And he just kept thinking, I don't know my own father, and I'm not really sure he loves me. I'm sure he does. He's never said it. And this was always in the back of his mind, but then Danny was about to have, with his wife, their first child. And he started thinking about the role his father had played and how he didn't really have a good model of how to be a loving father. And it started weighing on him so much that he felt like he couldn't be present with his wife during their pregnancy. So he called up his dad and said, look, I really need you to be there at the hospital when our child is born. I know it won't necessarily change things between us, but I really need you there. The time comes around, and they have an adorable little baby boy, and his father doesn't show up at the hospital. And Danny finds again that there's this heavy weight, and he just can't be fully present with his own child and his wife while they're learning to be parents. So he waits a little while, and then he straps his little baby into his car seat, and he drives over to his dad's house and knocks on the door and says, I want you to meet your grandson. You know, we're coming in. So they walk in and get to talking a little bit, and his dad finally says, you know, you're really lucky. My dad died when I was 6 years old. I have three memories of him. In my entire life, I have three memories of my father. I never got to call another man dad. Never got to use that word. And your son is going to use that word for you. Now, Danny left feeling lighter. And it wasn't because his dad's behavior was suddenly going to change and now he was going to be at all the family barbecues and fulfill Danny's secret wishes that we all have. What he did do, though, was accept. He said, I'm going to accept that this is how my father is, accept the nature of our relationship, and begin the work of moving forward. And that's really what forgiveness is about. It actually doesn't just erase all of the pain or anger we're feeling. It's a beginning, a way of saying, I accept this. I'm ready to begin the work of moving forward. And there are actually monastic traditions devoted to this practice because it's so hard to forgive and to ask forgiveness. There are orders of monks who every night think, what could I do better tomorrow? What do I need to ask forgiveness for? What do I need to forgive before they start the next day? They do that every night. And that makes me think that if we had more practice on the little moments, maybe forgiveness wouldn't only be this epic concept and this daunting moment in our lives where we have to face that it's a need, that we need to ask or give forgiveness. And there are times, of course, that we are hurt by another person so deeply that there is no way we are going to be able to even start, maybe, forgiving them in the course of a year, as our Jewish friends begin to think about. And there are times when we do harm to others that there's no way we could fix in 1 year. But we need to practice forgiveness. And I keep thinking of all the small moments in my life when I have this opportunity to practice my spiritual forgiveness muscle and make it stronger. And I was thinking how this happens all the time. We do a kindness, and subconsciously or consciously, we expect a reward for that kindness. Like, I will open the door for somebody, and they walk out, and they don't say thank you, and they keep going. I'm thinking, you're welcome. Why didn't you thank me? And I know this is a Seinfeld episode as well, if you're familiar. Sometimes when I'm putting money in a tip jar, I really want them to be looking at me while I'm doing it. And there's that scene where George is one of the characters on Seinfeld, and he's taking the money back out so that the guy will see him put it in. It doesn't, you know, cause the end of the world. It doesn't cause a deep rift. But I need to ask forgiveness when I do that. When someone cuts me off in traffic, and I have a long commute, that happens a lot on I-90. And I often think, I'm going to tailgate you and make you feel how it feels. It's not fair. You've inconvenienced and frustrated me. I'm going to show you what it feels like. And my husband has talked to me about this a number of times, so I'm starting to work on it. And I've actually had to ask my husband Steve's forgiveness for this, because I won't get into it, but there was an instance where I really needed to ask forgiveness. There are also times when a friend is opening up to us about something very difficult in their lives, some pain they've experienced. Maybe they're going through a divorce. And instead of giving them this space and saying, no, this is your time, my gift to you is I'm going to listen and help you hold your pain, the instinct is to say, oh, well, I know a lot of people who have gotten divorced, and here are my experiences of pain. I do this. I think a lot of us do it. Because each of us carries our own need to express that pain, to share our burden. So often we don't muster the generosity to allow someone else to do the same. There are times when we come home from our daily routine and we take for granted all the things we love most. We allow our stress and our busyness to cloud our gratitude. There are times when we are not as generous, as patient, or as loving as we could be, and for all these things, we must ask forgiveness. And forgiveness should not be always this big, epic moment that changes the course of our lives. Because often it does when we do something like that. Have the courage, finally, to ask for forgiveness or to forgive and begin that process. It also makes me think how when we are in a meaningful relationship, a friendship, the parent-child relationship, a romantic relationship, we are constantly accumulating the need to be forgiven and to forgive. We care strongly when we are in a relationship that matters to us. And tiny things we don't do around the house or that we do around the house build up. We snap at one another. When we are fully committed to a relationship, we often build up layers of fear and denial and anger around our hearts. And that's just the wear and tear of caring so much, needing someone else, and trying to protect ourselves from being hurt by them. And those layers around our heart get thicker and thicker until we can't feel our empathy and our gratitude for the relationship anymore. Rabbi Irwin Kula says that we live in a culture of avoidance. Few of us have ever had models of forgiveness. Few of us were taught that feeling vulnerable and taking risks is a very important part of intimacy. To forgive or to ask forgiveness is to take a huge risk, even if you've been married for 50 years. What we forget is that the risk is worth it. The risk improves our relationship. When we forgive, we peel away these layers of denial, fear, and anger that build up around our hearts. And we are left crying or laughing after a healthy, productive confrontation or fight because we can feel again, feel our gratitude and our empathy for each other. And that's one of the things that is so beautiful about the days of awe in the Jewish tradition. The Jewish High Holy Days acknowledge that each year, simply by living our lives, by engaging in the world and daring to have meaningful relationships, we will always accumulate the need to forgive and the need to be forgiven.